I first met William in 1999 as a new patient in our clinic. He was 81 at the time, and except for the low back pain that he came in for, he was in excellent health. William had retired from a government job, and it was obvious to me that he had enjoyed a good life and had taken good care of himself. I treated his back pain off and on for a couple of years, and then I didn't see William again until January of this year. Now he's 86, and he still looks good. But when I started to question him about his low back pain, his wife interrupted and handed me a piece of paper. She said, "He has low back pain, but this is another condition you should be aware of." So I read the printout she handed me, and it reads like this: aphasia. Aphasia is a neurological disorder caused by damage to the portions of the brain that are responsible for language. Primarily, signs of the disorder include difficulty in expressing oneself when speaking, trouble understanding speech, and difficulty with reading and writing. Now listen to this, because this is really the theme of what I want to get to this morning. The paper said, "Aphasia is not a disease, but it's a symptom of brain damage. Most commonly seen in adults who have suffered a stroke, aphasia can also result from a brain tumor, infection, head injury, or dementia that damages the brain. It is esteemed that about 1 million people in the United States today suffer from aphasia. The type and severity of language dysfunction depends on the precise location and extent of the damaged brain tissue. Generally, aphasia can be divided into four broad categories. These are the four categories that we're going to discuss this morning in our sermon on spiritual aphasia. The first one is expressive aphasia, which involves difficulty in conveying thoughts through speech or writing. The patient knows what he wants to say, he just can't find the words. Number two is receptive aphasia. This involves difficulty understanding spoken or written language. The patient hears the voice and or sees the print, but can't make sense of the words. Number three, patients with amnesia aphasia, the least severe form of aphasia, have difficulty in using the particular names for particular objects, people, places, or events. And number four, global aphasia. This results from severe and extensive damage to the language areas of the brain. Patients lose almost all language function, both comprehension and expression. They can't speak or understand speech, nor can they read or write. The paper went on to explain that the treatment for aphasia, in some instances, an individual will completely recover from aphasia without treatment. In most cases, however, language therapy should begin as soon as possible and be tailored to the individual needs of the patient. And what is the prognosis? The outcome of aphasia is difficult to predict, given the wide range of variability of the condition. Generally, people who are younger or have less extensive brain damage improve the best. So you see where I'm going with this language? Doesn't that fit to our spiritual lives? We'll look at all four of these conditions when it comes to spiritual aphasia. It's estimated that 1 million people have aphasia, but my guess is that a lot more number of people have spiritual aphasia than just 1 million. The first one was spiritual expressive aphasia. Expressive aphasia involves difficulty in conveying thoughts through speech or writing. The patient knows what he wants to say, he just can't find the words. That describes a lot of us spiritually, doesn't it? We know what we want to say, we just don't know where to go to find it. We just don't know how to express it to other people. The person suffering from spiritual expressive aphasia knows, he knows the concepts, he knows the principles, he's attended church all of his life, he just doesn't know how to tell it to anybody else. Moses told the Lord that he suffered from spiritual aphasia. In Exodus, the 4th chapter, the 10th through 12th verse, he says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, meaning his 40 years of growing up in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Well, the Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? What makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Moses just wants to get out of the work that God has planned for him. He probably has some fears, or just feels like he isn't capable of doing the job. But he pleads that he's not a good spokesman, which isn't really true. Acts 7th chapter in the 22nd verse says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. So he really didn't have a problem. He just wanted to lay it off as having spiritual expressive aphasia so he wouldn't have to go back down and free the children of Israel. Well, how many of us are Moseses and don't really want to do the things that we should be doing for the Lord, and so we use that excuse of spiritual expressive aphasia? On the one hand, there may be people who really don't have the talent, and they seem to struggle when they try to give lessons. But you know, that was the characteristic that Paul had. Paul really didn't have the abilities to convey himself to other people, at least not initially. He writes in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 1st, 9th, and 10th verses, By the meekness and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. We may assume that Paul was a small man in structure, maybe a very meek man. He goes on to say, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Now this is the Apostle Paul, that he's saying that people are commenting about him in this manner. So, Paul said in other passages that he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what that was, but maybe it had something to do with his ability to communicate to other people. One commentator described Paul this way. He had a small and contracted body, somewhat crooked and bowed, a pale face, looked old, and had a little head. He had a sharp eye, his eyebrows hung downward, his nose was beautifully bent, somewhat long, his beard thick and pretty long, and that, as the hair of his head, had a sprinkling of gray hairs. Now, I don't know where he got that, but that guy doesn't look too pretty to me. Whatever the problem was, whether it was his physical structure or whether it was his ability to speak, Paul obviously had a problem. Moses had a problem just because he didn't want to do it. Paul had a problem, maybe physically, that he couldn't do it as well as others could. Either way, we would put both of those men in spiritual expressive aphasia category. So it begs the question, if we feel like we're in that category, doesn't it seem that we could overcome that? Moses and Paul did. If we could comprehend what Paul and Moses went through to overcome their limitations, then perhaps we could resolve any spiritual expressive aphasia, any lack of feelings in our abilities to express ourselves to other people. So I have a couple passages that would help us do that. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." You see, it's a constant use of God's word that will help us mature and grow and overcome any feelings that we have of a lack of being able to express ourselves. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What then say we, brothers, when we come together? Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church." Spiritual expressive aphasia can be overcome by assembling together with the church, by edifying one another, by growing and maturing, by participating. Ephesians, the third chapter, the 20th and 21st verse says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine." See, I think a lot of spiritual expressive aphasia is just our imagination. We just limit ourselves. And this passage just says, "According to his power that is at work within us," meaning the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." So we might think it's difficult, or it might be, we might think it's impossible to overcome this particular type of aphasia, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do that, just as Paul and Moses did. The second type of aphasia was spiritual receptive aphasia. This involves difficulty understanding spoken or written language. The patient hears the voice or sees the print, but can't make sense of the words. Spiritual receptive aphasia is very common. There are a lot of people who think the Bible is too hard to understand. Some think the Bible is outdated. Some people think the Bible is open for their personal interpretation. That's why we have so many different denominations today. In the Church of Christ, spiritual receptive aphasia could involve placing limitations on our own personal ability to understand what the Scriptures are giving us. Our understanding is limited only by our own, by the limitations that we place on ourselves. There's too many study aids, too many commentaries, too many other people that can help us learn for us to suffer from spiritual receptive aphasia. But we're not alone. Think about the apostles of Jesus. After spending 3 years with him, they still didn't get it. Mark, the 16th chapter, the 9th through the 14th verse, it says, "When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they didn't believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and for their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen." What had they been doing the last 3 years? He had already told them what was going to happen. And he told them that he was going to raise from the dead. When they got the news that he had done that, they didn't believe it. Well, there are a lot of things that are perplexing about the Scriptures, and maybe it gives us doubt at times. But the whole Bible is there to help us overcome our spiritual receptive aphasia, especially the book of John. I like this passage in John the 14th chapter. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Been teaching him for 3 years, but he still wanted a sign. And Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. You've seen all of these miracles I've done, and you still don't believe? Don't you know that Jesus is really frustrated with his apostles at this point? Don't you know that he's really frustrated when we have little doubts creep into our faith? It's very easy to develop spiritual receptive aphasia because we have so many other sources of information that are coming into our lives every day. We tend to get confused about what is truth. Spiritual receptive aphasia can develop in Christians who replace truth with the psychology of Dr. Phil. Or we confuse the truth with the social agendas of Oprah. Or we confound the truth with all the reference material we read on many subjects today. It sort of blends right in there with what we know about the gospel. And it all becomes mixed up. Don't you know that Jesus is frustrated when we try to live our lives based on the philosophy of man? So what's the solution for spiritual receptive aphasia? Well, the first step is to conquer the doubts that we have and the lack of faith that we have. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." The entire Bible, and specifically the book of John, is written so that we can believe. John, the 20th chapter, says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We have the tools right there in the scriptures to help us overcome spiritual receptive aphasia. So the first step would be for us to study the scriptures and become solid in God's word. The second step would be to develop our understanding of what the scriptures say. Ephesians 4:11 and 16 says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." And here's what their responsibilities are: to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. We won't be listening to the philosophies of men. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's an awesome passage. It just shows how God's plan is supposed to work. And if it works that way, then we won't suffer from spiritual receptive aphasia. The third one was spiritual amnesia aphasia. This is the least form of aphasia. This is when people have difficulty using the correct names of particular objects, places, or events. This is the one I have. The older I get, the harder it is for me to remember people's names and things. I think it's just an age thing. Spiritual amnesia aphasia could be described as those events where we seem to forget that we are Christians. Not that we're not acting like Christians, because we know how to act. But it's those events where we forget to tell others about Jesus. Peter's denial of Jesus is an example of spiritual amnesia aphasia. Peter was no different than we are at times. Don't you have difficulty telling people in certain situations that you're a Christian? Don't you find it fearful at times? What are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of me coming out and expressing these thoughts that I'm a Christian? I can think we can put ourselves in Peter's shoes at times. Because of his fear, he denied Jesus 3 times just because of his fear and his environment. He was in a mob, and he was afraid for his own life. He was afraid that that mob would take him and do to him what they were doing to Jesus. Christians have always been persecuted. They're persecuted today. You look at President Bush and how he's being persecuted because he says, "I pray to a higher being." I mean, why would you persecute somebody like that? But that's what's happening. The world is attempting to persecute anything having to do with religion, to the point of even wanting to take "In God We Trust" off of our currency. It's a persecution that's always been there and will always be there. Jesus knew we would be tempted to have spiritual amnesia aphasia. Listen to how Jesus described it to his disciples, Luke 21:12-18. "They will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdoms that none of these adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." Can you relate to some of those persecutions? Maybe not to the extent of being put to death, but I'm sure we all have conflicts in our families that we can relate to because we want to serve the Lord. Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." So the solution for spiritual amnesia aphasia, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." To sanctify the Lord in your heart means to honor him as your source of truth and holiness. We have to make him Lord of our lives and director of our paths. If you want to overcome spiritual amnesia, aphasia, we have to be ready to give an answer to those who would ask us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have the best source of comfort and strength, and that is through our prayers to the Lord. The final category was global aphasia, results in severe and extensive damage to the language areas of the brain. Patients lose almost all language function, both in comprehension and expression. They can't speak, they can't understand speech, nor can they read or write. That's a good description of people who can't accept Jesus as their Savior. They have severe brain damage, and that's what aphasia is, this category of aphasia. They just can't understand the Scriptures, or they don't want to understand the Scriptures. Jesus describes spiritual global aphasia in Matthew 13:15. It says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." That may describe some in the audience today. We don't know. But this category can affect Christians as well. For the Christian, we have to remain faithful to our commitment to the Lord. 2 Peter 3:10 through 14 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." That's the recommendations for all of those in the audience today who are Christians. For those of you who aren't, Jesus has an invitation in Matthew 11. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We'll give you that opportunity to accept Jesus' invitation as we stand and sing.